Mr. Bell was a person who cared about the whole person. I can remember one day we were going out onto the field to practice the marching band. And at this point, we were without a drum major, and he had put me in that position of leading the band. But just before we started, each day he would go over the plans for the day. And while we were standing there talking, he happened to look down at my nails, and he stopped talking about the plans for the day to tell me that he thought I should spend more time trimming my nails and keeping them clean and that sort of thing. And I thought, well, at first I was angry, but then afterwards I thought his interest was not just in me leading the band, but as a whole person. He gave me a real lesson on taking care of myself. And I think with that kind of person, it brings the best out in you, his interest.
Can you tell me more about how you perceive your teachers, Shirley? What kind of people were they?
The Lincoln population wasn't a large population, so that you got to know people pretty. You got to know a lot about different aspects of people. We worked with them during the day, and we whispered about their evenings. You know, there were a lot of things that you got to know about your teachers, or you thought you knew anyway. Until I reached high school, I never really had any other feelings other than respect for the teachers that I had. There were some you dreaded. I remember being in the seventh grade and dreading my eighth grade year, because that was the year where we had to learn all of the 100 counties of North Carolina. And the teachers, and there was one that in particular that I didn't want, because she was a stickler for your learning them, and was a little bit gruff. Once I got in there, naturally I got the one that I didn't want, and I learned to like her, and I did learn all of the counties. Later, when I got to high school, there were a couple of teachers that I had. I had a home economics teacher who was an old maid. And could be difficult, but as I said earlier, I enjoyed a pretty good time with her as such, because I was a good student, and I learned, I became one of her best students. In fact, I helped her with the adult sewing class in the evening.
Is that Miss Pope?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she had actually taught my aunts, mother's sisters, and one of my aunts had become a seamstress. And I can remember as a little girl when I was at my grandmother's, Miss Pope would frequently visit. So I enjoyed a pretty good relationship with her, but I did know about the other side of Miss Pope. But I didn't have that to deal with that often. I can remember there were times when we would be in class and she would launch into one of her, it seemed like a once a month thing. We would always say, you know, she must be on her monthly or something because she's raging. when she would have these feels, and I would sit there and listen to her, and I would think she could really be very rough. I didn't like it. And with some of the people that you are with during that time, after I've graduated, I've kept contact with some people, but she was one of those people that after I graduated, I didn't really care to be in touch with.
Were there any teachers you thought were below standard, that didn't teach well, didn't have a grasp of the subject knowledge, or didn't care about the students?
When my class meets, we meet once a month. We talk about, in fact, almost every time we laugh about it. We go back and talk about those days in high school, and there is one man in particular that always comes up, and we laugh about it. I don't know if you've heard about Mr. Christmas or not, but he was a funny man that we laugh about now. At that time it was sort of difficult. And I can remember when I was in high school, there were some people in the community that were concerned. Actually, it had gotten to the white community, and they were concerned about Mr. Christmas and his influence and what he was doing with the kids. I can remember being called to a meeting. And as I said, as a student who did fairly well, I didn't catch the rap that some others caught. But I was invited to this meeting because these people wanted to know more about Mr. Christmas and our experiences with him. Charlotte Adams was one of those people.
What was it about Mr. Christmas that was distressing?
I think the number one question that they had was whether he was homosexual or not. And I think some of the students would go home and talk, and maybe some of the stories that they would tell, parents would have questions about, and maybe some of it just sort of floated, and there were questions as to whether he was doing a good job or not. But he and Miss Pope were actually friends.
Now,
he was the person, one person that she allowed to escort her to functions.
Interesting.
It was interesting.
Was he a bad teacher, in your view? Or a poor teacher, maybe I should say?
He wasn't a bad teacher. He just had us doing things that were so different from what we had been accustomed to doing. And his way of presenting it was so different from the teachers that we'd had. I guess the teachers, I don't remember any necessarily bad teachers. And I've always said that, and since I started, I didn't want to become a teacher. But when I started to teach, and I worked with students who were, well, I think I told you this, emotionally disturbed in the class. So I had to find innovative ways of working with them to help them with their learning. And my resource was thinking back to things that I had done when I was in school. And I found some of the things that the teachers had done for me were so helpful. And I think during those times that I was in school, the teachers didn't have materials and things that were available to others, so they would have to find innovative ways to come up with things to help us to learn. And I think probably the black teachers probably had to do double duty to bring it to us. I don't remember when I was in school. When I was in school, the special ed students were in the class with the regular kids. And
special ed being emotionally disturbed?
Emotionally disturbed or mongoloid.
Mm-hmm.
We were all together. And I can remember there was one girl that was mongoloid. And she went to school with us until I was in sixth grade, or fifth or sixth grade before she stopped. She was about 14. But we would, and I think she learned, if nothing else, if she didn't learn all of the academic stuff, she learned behavior. So there's some merit to having all of the students together at certain points. But she used to pinch me. But we would walk to school. She lived not far. She lived on Church Street. And she would walk down to MacDade Street, and we would walk to Northside together.
You mentioned that when you were teaching, you thought back about some of the techniques that were used, the methods that were used by your Lincoln High School teachers, and used those. Could you expand on that, the kinds of things that they did that you used?
Very, very basic kinds of presentations. One of my things was, I felt in order to be a good teacher, you had to remember what it was like to be a child. And that's what I carried with me when I would work with these kids and see their frustrations. I would reflect back to those days earlier than my youth, my childhood, and try to help this student based on what my feelings might have been as I was growing up. I was a quiet child, so I did a lot of thinking when I was alone. And as I said, my father was very protective, so when we were at home, when we went home at 4:30 or whatever time, we were there. I spent a lot of time. My brothers were all over the place, but I spent a lot of time at home with older people, my grandmother talking, and my aunts listening to them. So when I started to teach, and I sort of fell into it, I didn't plan it. My first job was at Wright School, state school for emotionally disturbed. And I liked it. I liked being able to reach those children that other people couldn't reach. And that's what I ended up doing.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I didn't want to teach, and that was one of the reasons, when I started, I had good feelings about the things that I had learned and wanted to share them with others.
Did your teachers make home visits?
Yes. And my mother was made herself readily available. Mother was involved with our schooling, and I think it was because she enjoyed good experiences. She had been raised in the county, and coming school was a pleasant experience for her. She was bright. And she transferred this to us. So teachers visited homes, but mother was also there in the school working with the teachers. You know, they had special projects and she was available to help in any way she could. She more than daddy.
What was the value of the teacher visiting your home?
They could see your surroundings and get a feel for you and your life and have a greater understanding of you as a person.
Did it lend itself to better communication, worse communication, or no difference in communication with your parents?
Oh, I think much better communication. I think that gave them a feeling of knowing the person that they were working with.
Knowing the teacher.
The teacher knowing the student. Mm-hmm. And it also gave the parents a comfortable feeling of this person who was working with their child.
Did it change how the student saw the teacher?
I think so. I can go back to Mr. Bell.
Mm-hmm.
And the good feelings that I had about him and his wife. And I think my mother, if you were to talk with her today, you would see a smile. She enjoyed him and had as much respect for him as if she had been sitting there during his lunchtime with him as I did. So these feelings were circulated among, it's like a circle from the student to the teacher to the parent or vice versa or whatever.
I wanted to ask you about discipline at home and discipline in the school, how this was accomplished.
It started at the top, Mr. McDougall, and it sort of filtered on down. He was the person that set the tone. I don't remember. I know that there were students who were punished, but I don't remember being aware of any physical punishment during my time. Now, there could have been, but I don't remember that.
So you never got hit with a switch on your legs or a ruler on your palms?
There was once when I was sixth grade, and this was more or less a joke I can remember, that on the playground, and I had a male teacher at that point, and it used to be a joke, there were certain students in the class that never got that. He would sometimes call them up front and, you know, give them the ruler in the hand, but there were certain ones who had, that would never get there, and it was like, okay, I was one of those who would never, I would always escape, you know, I wasn't going to go before the class and get my hands back, but I was outside on the playground, and some of the students were saying this little thing. Got damp and something bit you. If you say it fast enough, it sounds like you're cursing. And I just joined in with it, and I was reported for that. And so when I went in, Mr. Todd said, okay, I finally got you up here. But it was more, you know, he did that, but it was not a vicious kind of a punishment. But I was saying it along with the other kids, and we were reported to be cursing on the playground. But
who was the disciplinarian in your home?
Mother.
And how did she discipline you?
A switch. You know, yeah, it was a switch. Or switches. Daddy, never. Maybe my brothers, but it was Mother. Mother was the one. And this was an incident I can remember. Mother told me there was a girl or two girls down the street that in their house, they lived in a sort of a ramshackle house, an old house. But their mother was a good friend of Mother's. They had gone to school together, but she did not want me down there for whatever reason. But I enjoyed going down there. I had gone down there a couple of times. Someone had given their mother all of these old clothes. And what we would do would be dress up in these old clothes and just get lost in fantasy. So Mother told me not to go down there. But each day I thought that I would be able to get home before she got there. But I can remember one whole week that I got the switch because I would get down there, I would go, and I thought I would be able to get home before she got there, and I didn't make it because she was there when I got there. I didn't get a lot of flippings, but I remember that one in particular, that time. My brothers were the ones who pushed the limits more than I did.
What did a whipping consist of?
Well, you'd go outside. She had this thing where you would go outside, you would get your own switch and bring it in, and she would use it, and then, you know.
Where would she use it?
On my legs. That's all.
And was this like 2 or 3 swats or 10, 15 swats or? Do you recall?
Not 15, you know, maybe between 5 and 10. Mm-hmm. It wasn't something that was left over where I would be walking and people would say, what is that? You know.
So it didn't leave any marks?
No. And there was this look, like, on some Sundays, although we went to church in Chapel Hill, there were certain Sundays that we would go, as we would say, out to the country, to my mother's home church. And I can remember Mother looking up, and my younger brother, who was quite active, she could give you that certain look, and without saying a word, you knew that you needed to get your act together. And quite often, that was enough for me. Quite often, it wasn't enough for them. But you just knew that this was not the thing to do. That look would come across the room.
You mentioned that discipline started at the top with Mr. McDougall, the principal. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me your memories of Mr. McDougall?
The voice is the thing that I remember. The booming voice. You knew from the tone. That this was acceptable or not. And if you wanted to be on the right side, you would hear that voice.
Where did you hear that? Was that on the loudspeaker system, or was that in the hallway, or in the classroom?
His office was situated sort of at the center, so that you could hear it either way without the intercom.
It must have been booming if you could hear it both sides.
He didn't have a huge voice, but you knew from the way it was delivered. And I, you know, that's what we laugh about when we're in our meetings, we laugh about things that were said or things that were done. There was an awful lot of respect for, even though, now he wasn't the coochie coochie coo. No, he didn't, that wasn't him. And you didn't, I didn't see him as a person that I could go up and even want to hug or put my head on his shoulder. You knew that this person was in charge and that you needed to, you know, put it together.
Follow the rules.
Follow the rules. At the same time, I can remember there was a side of him that was interested. Occasionally, I would walk around the school, sometimes by myself, and I would bump into him, and he would ask me. He knew things about plans that I had, things that I wanted to do, and he would ask me about them, and I would know from that there was an interest from him. He was interested in me as a person. And I go back again to the fact that I was a good student, so that I'm not sure that everybody enjoyed the same kind of relationship. There was one incident that I had with Mr. McDougall that I remember. This was during the time that I was leading the band. I was the drum majorette, or was the head person. And this was a different band leader, Mr. Edgerton. And just before going on the field, he told me what he wanted to do for that day. And then I went out on the field. After I got out on the field, we heard the intercom come on, and Mr. McDougall asked for several students to come to his office after practice. And so when we got there, he went into a tirade about us being late for practice, taking too much time. And I stopped him to tell him that he'd mistaken me. I was there before most of them, because I had talked with the band leader, and he had told me what he wanted to do. No, you were late. And at this point, this was one of the few times, as I said, I was quiet, but this particular day, I told him no. And I walked out and slammed the door. I was not going to be lambasted for being late when I knew that I wasn't. So I walked out, slammed the door. By the time I got home, he had called Mother. And she, of course, she heard me, but I thought she believed some of what he was saying. Anyway, at a later point, I stayed away from him. And I avoided him, but at some point later he came to me and apologized, because there were other students who had gone to him and told him that he had made a mistake, so that he did come back to me.
So he was a big man.
He was. He apologized later. But that was one of the few times that I can't remember another time that I actually stood up and talked back to a teacher.
Would you say that not everyone saw his discipline as a positive thing? Mm-hmm. So, I'm asking very pointed questions again, and I don't want to put words in your mouth. Do you think that some people felt he was too strong a disciplinarian?
Here again, I would say it depended on what end of the stick you were on, you know.
Good student or bad student.
Right. If you enjoyed if you had not done well, or if you had been a student that had presented a lot of problems, you would not enjoy knowing the man as I might have, being a better student in terms of behavior and academic performance.
I know you have to go. Last question.
Okay.
What are your memories of the sports at Lincoln High?
Lincoln had enjoyed a good reputation, you know, for sports for a long time before I even got there. You probably heard of Mr. Carnegie. But when I got there, I was already involved in the band, but I wanted to play girls basketball. When I was in Mrs. Bell's class, she was Mrs. Scales then, they discovered that I had rheumatic fever. And so mother didn't want me to play basketball. And I was really disappointed because all of my friends were playing. So I ended up being involved anyway because Mrs. Fulford allowed me, she was the girls' basketball coach, she allowed me to be the statistician for the girls' team. And I later became statistician for the boys' team as well.
Was this at Lincoln?
Mm-hmm. So I was involved even though I wasn't playing, and I enjoyed that.
You were into a lot of different things. Marching band, concert band, statistician, student council, anything else?
Not that I can remember. There wasn't much else.
There wasn't much time.
But I, as I said, my father was strict, and this was a way for me to be involved in an acceptable way.
Ended up being a positive thing in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about football.
Football. I knew football through the band always played for the games, okay? And until recently, I don't think I was caught up in the hype of it, not really knowing the game. I don't think I learned the game really until after Brad stopped coaching and I started to watch it on TV. And you could see the plays more clearly, but sitting through the games, as a student, I was just caught up in the hype. I can remember going to college. I went to Howard University. And I was so disappointed when I went to their first game because my idea of a game was a winning team, number one. And the other idea I had was based on what Carolina did here in Chapel Hill. There was a lot of hoopla. You would dress up for the games. And when I went out on that field, I was so disappointed because the stadium didn't exist. It was just a sort of a muddle. When I went, it was just a muddy, a few ragged bleachers, and it was not at all what I had been used to or anticipated. But I enjoyed the games, but because I was participating, and I guess to a certain extent during that time, I was one of the parts of the game, the band.
What'd that do for your self-esteem? Or did you already have great self-esteem?
I think I probably did already.
So it was not something you needed to do to make yourself Mm-mm. A bigger person.
No.
Tell me about the band, how good the band was, and whether the band took place, it took part in any competitions. And the same thing for the orchestra, and how they did in the competitions.
We were top of the notch in terms of competitions. There were every year we had a, I'm searching for a name for it now, but at each year we practiced up until this time of year to go to Greensboro to present certain numbers, certain musical arrangements, and each year we ended up receiving top awards for our presentation. That was the concert band. The marching band, you got that firsthand when you would march down the street. The crowds would give you a stamp of approval. But in terms of numbers and the people involved, and as I said, Mr. Bell was a person who had the interest of every student there, and I wasn't the only person that had that feeling. He would stop and play each instrument, so you felt that he was special in his knowledge, and he had a special knowledge of each student that came across to them. We had a good band.
What parades did you play in?
Well, all of the local parades, but we did a lot of...
What local parades?
The Christmas, and whenever the school would have homecoming.
Did you play at UNC's homecoming?
I don't remember. Maybe one time. I don't remember. At that point, I think we might have had a better band than UNC. They might not have wanted the competition.
What about homecoming for, or the Beat Duke Parade? Did you play in that?
Perhaps. I know that we would travel to Durham to participate in Central's, whatever gala they were having, their homecoming parade. We would go Greensboro.
Did you go to Pittsburgh, Hillsboro?
Oh yeah, we were always down in Pittsburgh whenever they had special parades.
Hillsboro too?
I don't remember Hillsboro so much. I remember Pittsburgh.
How about Raleigh?
Raleigh, yes.
So you were really all over the place. Were those by invitation?
Invitation, yes. We had people knew about us. And I think all of the students enjoyed it, and that's what came across, you know, as we enjoyed it. I can remember the hill, you know, going past Lincoln, going down Merritt Mill, going, I think it's Smith Level now, going down. We would march in the afternoons and practice and going up and down that hill. It was just a lot of fun. We did it with a lot of gusto. We enjoyed it. And we presented ourselves well. I mentioned that I was first saxophonist in the band, but I didn't get there by just being there. There were people in front of me who had been playing for a while, and so you had to be good in order to be there. And I think all of the band felt that way. I talked to one of the ladies that I work with in the church. She was also in the band at that time. We frequently talk about the good times that we had and we enjoyed. And there was a fellow that I had a special interest in, which made it a little more interesting for me. But he was first trumpet, so it wasn't just No, I think he played cornet. He switched between cornet and trumpet. But anyway, he was also good.
Why don't we leave it on that positive note? I could ask you at least a dozen more questions, but I know that it's tough for you to get away, so thank you so much for spending the time with me. I appreciate it very much.
I enjoyed sharing these few thoughts with you.
Oh, they were great.